T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, so...
All right, the latest edition of We're All Gonna Die for something hitting us from space. Now, the huge red star might explode soon, and the next few weeks are critical.
I suggest wear a helmet.
Dr. Christine Larson, Associate Professor of Physics and Astronomy at CCSU, is with us, one of our favorites. Hi, Christine.
Your favorite, yes.
Good morning, gentlemen.
All right, so how concerned are we supposed to be about this?
On a scale from 1 to 10, about a negative 17.
Okay, good. All right,
yeah,
thanks for being on.
It is the curiosity factor and the wow factor,
right.
The really high danger factor, not so much.
Okay, but it's interesting.
Oh, it's fascinating. A Betelgeuse, as we affectionately call it, is at the end point of its life. It's going to explode at some point in the next 100,000 years. And when it does, it will be bright enough to see during the day, which will be
really
wicked cool. It's far enough away that it's not going to hurt us. So we just, you know, eat some popcorn and enjoy the show.
Okay. Nice, I like that.
And not even a solar flare. I mean, it's not going to interfere with communications or anything.
Nope. It will interfere with astronomers because it's going to be so bright that it's going to actually produce some light pollution.
Get out of here.
Wow.
And how old is Betelgeuse, do we know?
Betelgeuse is in the hundreds of millions of years old, at least. It's younger than our sun. Stars that are heavier than our sun, those are the ones that explode, and they have much shorter lifespans than our sun. Yeah.
Last time I was when I was a kid, my parents had this book, you know, and it was about all kinds of things, like an atlas of some sort, but it showed the lifespan of a star. And, you know, you go, ultimately, I think you end up as a red dwarf. I think that's how you end up. But eventually, our sun will expand and basically encircle the Earth and catch us on fire. That's what I saw. I've been worrying about that for a long time.
Well, we used to believe that stars died as red dwarfs. Back, if you read H.G. Wells' The Time Machine, that's how we actually have the sun dying. But we know that stars actually expand at the end of their lives.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
When they sort of run out of gas. Yep. So our sun, in about 6 billion years, so you still have to go to work tomorrow, in about 6 billion years, the sun is going to expand. It's going to swallow up Mercury and Venus, and perhaps the Earth, and even if it doesn't swallow up the Earth, we will definitely be crispy critters.
Oh, we'll definitely be
nice.
Fried.
Oh, it'll be great.
Definitely,
excellent. Something looking forward to in 6 million years when we're doing the
also tells
show.
6 billion years.
6 billion years.
Yeah.
Also tells
six
us we should take out a long-term auto loan.
Yeah,
never to pay it off. That's good news.
Exactly.
I don't want to know the interest rate on that one.
In chat. So now what people like you, astronomers, brilliant people, are trying to figure out with Betelgeuse is if this is terminal, if this is coming to an end, or it's just a phase. How do you determine that?
Actually, we watch it. A lot of these things are, it got brighter, so I guess it's not going to blow up now. The models say that we should probably have an idea by the end of the month. It should start recovering its brightness by about the end of the month. If it doesn't, if it continues to decline in brightness, then we're going to have to go back to our models and go, gee, what haven't we factored in?
Because the other thing that's going to freak us out is I believe it's already happened, whatever's happening, right? Because how many light years are they?
Yeah, it's about 700 light years away. So we are seeing it tonight as it was 700 years ago.
Talking to Dr. Christine Larson, Associate Professor of Physics and Astronomy over across the way at CCSU in New Britain. What other fascinating things are you working on that we can talk about? So Ray can go, oh my God, it's coming to kill us. And you can say, great, relax.
Well, I invite all of your listeners to go out and look at Venus right now. It's the bright, quote, evening star.
Right now?
Right now. Well, not right this very second,
okay.
Tonight. Tonight, if it's clear, and over the next weeks, many of your listeners might have seen it after sunset in the western sky. It's incredibly bright. When Betelgeuse blows up, it's going to be several times brighter than Venus.
Wow.
And in fact, Venus is so bright and looks so strange in the night sky that it's actually responsible for something between 10 to 20% of all UFO reports.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
By the way, is that the only one that we know is in this condition at present?
Beetlejuice?
Yeah.
There are, we know of a number of supergiant stars that are near the end of their life. Beetlejuice is part of a class of stars called semi-regular. And the name semi-regular should give you a clue that it doesn't always do the same thing all the time. So there are a number of stars that we know of that are in the end-of-life condition, just like Beetlejuice.
So the more you have to, you know, the more you know, the more you know you don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even how did you decide to name this Beetlejuice? Why did that?
That's a good one.
That's actually a great question. Back in medieval times, they didn't have spell check.
Yeah.
And the medieval monks who were transcribing from Arabic into Latin,
yes,
they made an oopsie, and they misspelled the name of the star. We know that it is a corrupted form of Arabic, but we don't know exactly what the original name of the star was supposed to be. I've seen translations, everything from the armpit of the giant to the forefoot of the white belted sheep. We do know that, it was definitely corrupted from Arabic.
Okay.
And so today we pretty much just go with the Michael Keaton movie and call it Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, yeah.
Yeah, that's easy enough.
Beetlejuice.
That makes sense.
That's the way that works. That was a great movie, by the way. Beetlejuice.
And it was named after the star, by the way.
Oh, was it really?
Oh, okay.
Yes, it was.
All right.
Now, just back, one thing you mentioned in passing is, you know, that in fact this was apparently discovered by Arabic-speaking people. Did they do a lot of astronomy?
Well, the star wasn't discovered by Arabic-speaking people.
It
was one of the stars that was on their catalog. It's one of the brightest stars in the sky, so of course it would have been named by all ancient peoples. The variations in Beetlejuice were actually only first noticed in 1836, as far as we've been able to document.
Wow.
All right.
That was a good class. We had a good class here
today.
It's
good. I learned more from you in 8 minutes than I learned in all my years at school.
So. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
All right.
Well, Christine, thanks for the insight. As always, we appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you guys.
And when we get in our fallout shelter for Beetlejuice,
we'll let you know.
We want you to be with us. So,
thanks, we're wearing helmets. We're all putting on helmets or maybe aluminum foil.
Right. We'll be getting Vienna sausage and Spam.
Oh, God.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.